Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. If there was a time that we needed that, it's today. After what we have done in our past election, we have voted for darkness, for death. We need a Savior from that. We need an anchor so we don't go all over away from God. Reading from John chapter 3, where Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus by night. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. So far we read God's holy word. Let's pray that we will have hearts to understand it and a willingness to be not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word, so that in times like these, we not only have a Savior, but we listen to the Savior, we follow the Savior. As Paul did, he says, as he followed Christ, we could follow him. And let's pray that as we have here the teaching of Christ, that we will have him as our prophet to teach us, and as he refers to himself as God giving him, that he will be also our priest, offering himself as the sacrifice. Father, we come to thee through Jesus Christ, in his name, for every blessing given. We give thanks for thy long suffering to us when we could have been punished for our sin, not only in our unbelieving state before the great salvation came, in our saved state, that we have sinned against thee in many different ways, in what is called sins of omission, that we did not do what we should have done, that we have neglected it for thy kingdom and for that of others. And we are also guilty of sins of commission, doing those things that are wrong, doing those things contrary to thy holy word and doctrine and life. We are today far from thee in true doctrine. We pray that we might be made to recognize it as it was recognized in the 1700s, in the time of Jonathan Edwards, that he saw the doctrine of Arminianism and he preached against it, that Arminianism is a combination of faith and works, and much emphasis on faith, as it was then, more on works than faith. And we pray, Father, that we might see that we might know that rightly, and preach against it. We pray for more laborers to go into the fields that are white in the harvest, that they may come in our country. They may come in other countries as well, especially those that have had the gospel in the past but now are far from it, as England and Europe, and we pray also for those countries where the gospel seems to be in a greater way, but terrible persecution, as it is in some countries. And we pray for those under that persecution, those in prison, those that are suffering in other ways, those that have been killed for the faith, and many have. We pray for their loved ones, their families. We pray, Father, for other needs that there are of the hungry, the homeless, especially those in a war-torn land. We pray that thou restrain the wickedness of those who are bringing this suffering in Ukraine. And we pray also for restrain on the wickedness of those suffering under the hand of the Islamic liars and murderers in Africa, in Afghanistan. And we pray that they might see the error of their way, and those that are persecutors may become preachers as thou didst make Paul to be. We pray, Father, for the needs of our country, our leaders, that thou put thy fear in our hearts once again. As we have voted the way of death, especially in our state. We have voted for those who want to promote the death of the unborn, and we are not only promoting death for them, but death for ourselves. The wages of sin is death, and it is a terrible sin to vote against thy holy word when thou hast said, thou shalt not kill, and better translated, thou shalt not murder, and we are murdering the unborn by the thousands every day. We have murdered them by the millions. We have the law that was wrong, allowing it years back, and now it's changed, and the people have rebelled against that. And that has been, we fear, brought voting very wrong, voting against thy way, voting against life. And help us to see that in times like these, we need thy Spirit, we need thy word, we need thy Son, the Rock, the Lord Jesus. We pray also for those that are homeless. We pray for those that need thy healing hand of the body in sickness. We pray for other needs of the elderly, the broken homes, the children in those homes, that thou would lead them to thy word, that they might have a true light in their path. Guide us now in this word, and give us, we pray, by thy word and Spirit, the new birth and the gospel, for thy glory and for our present and eternal good, and for the good of others as well, through Christ. Amen. As we look at this once again, we have looked at the first part of this conversation with Nicodemus last week. The last words that Nicodemus is recorded as saying was, how can these things be? He evidently did not yet have the Spirit to make him see the kingdom of God, to make him see the kingdom of righteousness, the kingdom of faith, the kingdom of peace. As we can read of it, Paul writing later, the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, we see the kingdom of God described. We read there, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. There again, we see the Holy Spirit mentioned, which Christ said, he must be born of the Spirit. Again, the second time, born of water and the Spirit, which means the Word and the Spirit. And wherever God gives this new birth, he also gives the Word. He gives the call by the Word. He calls sinners to repentance. He calls sinners to faith. And at the same time, he calls sinners to obey. All of it comes together with the new birth, with the work of the Spirit within, hearing of the Word without. That's what is needed here. Nicodemus is getting the Word as well as being told the need of the Spirit. After Nicodemus asked how these things could be, Christ's answer was, art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? We pointed out last week that he should have known it. He could have known it from Ezekiel. He could have known it from David's writing in the Psalms about the Spirit and not wanting the Spirit to be taken away and a right Spirit given. And that's what we need today. We need God's Spirit. We need it as the Great Awakening in the 1730s when Jonathan Edwards stated, God began in an extraordinary way to work amongst us. That was the way of the Spirit, stopping sinners and starting them on the road to the kingdom of God. The first convert was a young woman, and then other young people, then the older ones as well. Jonathan Edwards wrote, The town was never so full of love as then, but also full of distress over sin, because they had not loved. Repentance brings distress, and faith brings not only peace with God, but love. It works love in our hearts, and that's what the outcome must be, to have a faith that worketh by love. That is the way of sanctification. That is the way, as Paul said to the church at Philippi, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When he describes God working in him, it is the work of the Spirit, teaching, convicting, revealing, leading into all truth. Oh, how we need that today. We are living in a terrible time. What we did last week, and I know this will come much later to you, the message I give today probably won't be broadcast for a few weeks, but what we did in voting for death. Voting for death. Yes, voting for death. Voting for those who want to promote the death of the unborn. In our particular state, we had a proposal that would bring much the same ways of law as Roe versus Wade, only more in detail. And we could probably say a worse law than Roe versus Wade, encouraging death to the unborn, the young people, as well as the older ones, young people, almost without the parents. It's a terrible law, but it was voted through. We voted for death. We voted for those, our governors, our Congress, that want to promote death and want it. And that especially came out. After Roe versus Wade was reversed, the people rose up in rebellion. And that's why so many that voted for death voted against that law being changed. And it brought people out. So what we prayed for and the change of that law did not have a good effect on a nation. It had a seriously wrong effect in the voting. We are voting for death, not only the unborn, we are voting for our own death. Those that shed man's blood, God tells us, by man shall their blood be shed. We are in line for that. We are probably putting our children in line for that. It's going to come. Shall die if we have caused others to die. The reason as well, because they are created in God's image. Yes, created. God created man out of the dust. Man did not come, as the evolutionists say, and give us foolish pictures of how man came. Terrible pictures. Totally theories. Totally lies. We are in a terrible time. For many years, we have denied God as creator. We can go back to the 1800s. There was a man that said, if evolution took hold, the teaching, that we would lose our sense of responsibility and we would lose our sense of morality. And we are there today. We're losing our sense of responsibility. Not only did we vote for death, but in our recent elections before that as well, we have voted for those that are for what we call socialism. What is it? People think, I'll get the money of others. That's what they want. They want free education. Some want pay without working. And they are getting that, and we have that, and it is a terrible way. Without the Savior, without God, without the Word of God, we are there. We are there in denying creation by God, denying the first chapters of Genesis as fact. We need again be born again to see God's kingdom from its very beginning, how he created Adam and Eve, how he created them, and how they were before they fell into sin. That's God's kingdom of righteousness before sin came. And now we have to be brought back by the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, spoken of in the song as the solid rock. Solid. That's what Christ is giving here to Nicodemus. Solid teaching. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Then, after some further conversation with Nicodemus, he gives a type of his own death. Verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then the direct way of giving the gospel, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Both the type speaks of eternal or everlasting life, and the actual fact of God giving his Son, who went to the cross, who shed his blood, who paid the price of our sin. On that cross, he became a curse for us who are cursed because of our sin. All those who do not continue in the law of God are under his curse. Christ entered into that way of taking the curse upon himself. Paul writes to the Galatians, Christ became a curse, for it is written, everyone that hangeth on a tree is cursed. Yes, Christ bore the curse on the cross, and that's why he can be the solid rock that paid for our sin, paid for mine, if there's any hope for me, paid for yours, if you're not going to perish, and without him, you will perish. As we read in the song, not only the Savior, but the only one. There is only one. There is none other name given under heaven whereby we can be saved. You cannot be saved by the saints. You cannot be saved by Mary. You can only be saved by the Son born to the Virgin Mary. And she needed a Savior, like we do. All of us do. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we need that today. We not only have the sins that we have already mentioned, but we have the sins of the broken home, much worse than ever before, much worse than 50 years ago. And if we would say things are bad and people say, I don't believe it, the fact is there that half of our homes are broken by divorce. One half. I saw the list of marriage license, the county that I'm in, and the divorces were about the same. Almost equal. A terrible, terrible thing. And so we need to see that we are living in serious times, at times when we are not giving heed to this word that a man must be born again. And as I said last week, we don't rightly see even the term born again. Some people think that the term born again means that you have to do something. Yes, we do have to do something, but we will not give ourselves the new birth. We will not give ourselves regeneration. We will not give ourselves life. It comes by the work of the Spirit, and he will convict us that we do not have Christ, that we have not believed in Christ. And then he will convict us of other things, of the truth, of our sin before God. As George Whitefield said, who was there at the same time as Edwards, we have to be convicted of our original sin. We are born sinners. We have to be convicted of our actual sin. We sin by transgressing against God's holy law. Also, we have to be convicted of the sin of unbelief. Christ said, you will not come to me that you might have life. He also said the Holy Spirit would come and reprove and convict of sin, because they believe not on me. Isaiah the prophet already said that. When we saw him, we did not desire him. We didn't see any beauty in him. He is despised and rejected of men. And that comes out later here, when Christ said, men love darkness rather than light. They despise the light, and they love the darkness. What a terrible, terrible thing. As I said before, we prove that last election, that we love the darkness, that we love death, that we love Satan's way. Satan was a murderer. Satan is a liar. When we are told or we say that we have a right to murder the unborn, that's a lie. We have no right. And if it's not believed today, it will be believed on the judgment day for all those who will not believe it before the day of judgment. They will experience what God says. All liars go to the lake of fire. And the right to murder the unborn is a lie. The theory of evolution is a lie. To say that we can have divorce and think of it as God's way is a lie. Even sadly, when we think of the thing that is so prominent in our time, the fear of climate change, the way it's understood is a lie. It's exaggerated. Those that promote it the most prove that they don't believe it. One of our past presidents promoted it, worldwide conferences over it, and he bought a home on the shore in the eastern part of our country. Millions of dollars that he spent for it on the shore. He doesn't believe the water's going to come up, or he wouldn't do that. Those that have been in the climate change committees and scientists that have studied him have resigned. Those that were the leadership in it have resigned and said it's been taken over by the politicians. It's become political. So when we think of climate change coming, what we did last week in the election is far worse. Far worse than climate change will ever come, because it will bring death. Death to the unborn, death to those who are guilty in doing it. It will bring death to the nation. It will bring death to our children. God said so, I repeat. Those that shed man's blood, by man shall their blood be shed. Paul writes to the church at Rome, not only those that do it, but those that have pleasure in those that do it. Those that voted for it have pleasure in the ones that want to make the law. They voted for the ones that want to promote abortion, and they have pleasure in that. They want it done. We need to be born again to see God's kingdom of truth, God's kingdom of righteousness, God's kingdom of peace, because there's no peace in the heart. No peace with God is why people in their dissatisfaction want the murder of the unborn, want the way of other sins, the transgender. No peace in their heart, no satisfaction, no thankfulness to God for what he gave us in the way he gave it to us. We need to be thankful for what God did in long-suffering to each one of us as sinners, that he did not give us yet the wages of sin, which is death, but he did give his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the solid rock. In times like these, you need one that's the solid rock. You need a Savior. In times like these, you need the Bible. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. There's no anchor in the evolutionists. There's no anchor in the murder of the unborn. There's no anchor that says it's all right to divorce. No anchors there at all. They're all lies. We must repent or perish.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.